Good evening, everyone. Welcome. For the record, Mayor Pro Tem Fast is absent this evening. Again, welcome to Reedley City Council meeting for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. Can you believe over half a year is gone already? Wow. I'd like to call this meeting to order. And would you please stand with me? The invocation will be done this evening by Sylvia Rios, Reedley Police Chaplain Support Team. And please remain standing as, would you please do the placement? As Council Member Bencourt will lead us in the flag salute. After me. Okay. Sylvia, please.
Let's pray. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth and all that has breath, thank you for this time and this moment. Thank you for the life that we have and the privilege to be able to gather together as a community. That's what we are. So we ask for a blessing tonight as we've come together to share our plans and our hopes and our dreams in this community. I ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for our leaders, Lord, who come, who hear the petitions, the requests, the concerns. Give them wisdom, give them knowledge, give them discernment to know how to serve and how to make decisions concerning this community whom they serve and they represent. Give them the energy, Lord, for this day's meeting. And thank you for those who are represented here in this community. May their joy, their excitement, their concerns, their voice be heard today as they present, as they represent. So again, we are grateful not only that we are in a nation who comes together and we have the privilege to gather openly and to speak out today, but we come together as a community. Continue to keep us united. Continue to keep us together and safe and as a family and a community. We are grateful again for this night. We take this breath in honor of our great creator of heaven and earth and all who has breath. We thank you. Amen.
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 Please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have roll call, please.
Councilmember Bat.
Here.
Here.
Here. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Beth?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Looks like we have several presentations this evening. First, it's good to see this place packed. I'd like to introduce Director Sarah Reed from the Community Center.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. It's with joy for Denise that I come in front of you and sadness for my department that today is her last day. She is retiring from us with 22 years of service in the Community Services Department. Denise's office, it's rare that something will go out of our department without being seen by her. She's our proofreader, our professional eyes, our double check, our making sure that everything is the way we want it to go out. Denise, if you want to come forward. As you know, we hire many people who are new in their career. 16, 17-year-old young professionals that Denise gets to mentor, be the professional example for, has patience with as questions are asked 5 to 10 times, and really just takes the time not just for our seasonal, our part-time, but even our full-time. We have appreciated the time that she has given us, and we will greatly miss her. So with that...
Before I come down there, I'd like to read this so it's recorded in the mic. It's a plaque awarded to Denise, and it reads, presented to Denise Ferris in recognition for your 22 years of service with the Community Service Department. Thank you for your dedication and professionalism. July 23rd, 2019. Let's give her another hand.
Denise, we hope that you have your tickets to the Caribbean.
Well, to Arkansas anyway. <Where are you? laughs>
Thank you.
22 years, that's a long time. But it seems like only yesterday, right, Denise?
Yes.
Second presentation from Reedley Police Department Chief Garza for our new police officer, Eddie Luna. Chief?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, members of our community. It's my great pleasure tonight that I get to introduce one of our new officers. Since Sarah is losing one person, I'm gaining one person, so I think we're back in balance again, so I think that's a good thing. No, but it is my pleasure whenever we have a new officer come on board, that brings a lot with them. Eddie Luna was born in Mendota, attended Mendota High School, has previously worked for the city of Huron and the city of Mendota before he came to Reedley. So, yes, we did steal him from his hometown, so that's a good thing. It's so hard anymore to be able to find good quality and qualified candidates. There's plenty of people that are interested, but not very many people that are qualified. And so I really believe that we are fortunate and we are very lucky that I was able to land Eddie here in Reedley. You know, my hope is that Eddie, like Denise did, spent 22 years here. My hope is that Eddie spends 22 plus years here as a police officer of the city of Reedley. That is my hope. And I am very confident that this community will embrace Eddie and that they will make him feel at home and that they will show him, obviously, the same respect and that our community does show to our police officers here in town. So it is my pleasure, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, members of the community, to introduce you to Eddie Luna.
Nice to have you on board.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Our next presentation is by Unidos por Salud on the truth of flavored tobacco.
And as our presenters come up, I do want to remind the council just of the Robert's Rules of Orders, Brown Act, and council policies. I anticipate we're going to have an exceptional presentation by this young group. If they ask council for any action, I want to remind the council that this is not listed as an action item under the agenda. So discussion about your prerogative on it really shouldn't take place other than bringing it back in a future agenda for an action item, which should be done under the council reports and comments section, where our council protocols state that one council member would make a motion, there would be a second, and then staff will bring it forward. So I just want to remind council of the procedure on that.
Thank you. If Mr. Seitz would please approach the podium.
Next. That's the next
one. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so my name is Dylan Luther. I'm a senior attending Reedley High.
Hello, my name is Roxana Ramos, and I am a senior at Reedley High School.
My name is Jane Hethkett, and I'm going to be a senior at Reedley Middle College High School. My name is Diana, and I will also be a senior at RMCHS.
My name is Wendy Haw, and I'm also going to be a senior at RMCHS.
And good evening. I'm Melanie Mestre, and I'm going to be a senior at Reedley High School. So the Reedley Youth Coalition is here to present the youth and flavored tobacco products information regarding that. So I'd like to provide some background on the California Health Collaborative. We are a nonprofit organization who provide health and wellness programs throughout this valley and California. So both RHS and RMCH students are part of this Reedley Coalition. We focus on keeping youth from tobacco products, and we provide presentations to parents throughout our, who are involved in the community, and also local and state level legislators. Recently, we met with Maria Limas, the district director of Senator Hurtado, as you can see in the picture there. So Unidos por Salud is our, who fund this coalition. We work amongst many Hispanic Latino communities and are in seven counties of the Central Valley, like Fresno. So the reason why our coalition works specifically with the Hispanic is because majority of our coalition, our community make up the, are made up by Mexican Americans. And 19.1% of them are reported to be active tobacco users, which is a crisis and a problem that we want to bring light to. Another reason is because the tobacco companies aim and target specifically the youth of our community and also neighboring communities. They do this by using social influencers. They support Hispanic political organizations, cultural events, and Hispanic art communities. Thank you.
So why is this important? So tobacconist companies specifically target the Hispanic and the youth. So this is important to the city of Reedley, since 75% of Reedley's population is Hispanic, and nearly 36% of Reedley's population is under the age of 21. So looking up at the screen, would you guys be able to tell which of those items are tobacco products? Do you guys have any guesses of which are tobacco products? Or how many? So from those four images, three are actually tobacco products. The only exception would be the ice cream, which is an eraser. So when the first image that is showing up is a picture of a Soren drop. And this is a flavored tobacco device that parents can often overlook and teachers, since it has a similar resemblance of that of a highlighter. The second image appears to be a bottle of sriracha sauce, but in reality, it is not. It is actually an e-juice that can cause burns to the skin, and it also can cause seizures. The third image is another image of an e-juice, and it's in the flavor of slushy. And a study found that 75% of the e-juices use a flavor agent called diacetyl that can cause lung diseases. The last image is a picture of jewel pods, and they sort of look like game pieces. So that's how it's easy for youth to get them past their parents. But it is known that each pod has the same amount of nicotine as a whole pack of cigarettes. So up are different types of flavored tobacco products, such as vapes, e-cigarettes, cigarillos, chew tobaccos, and different Soren drops. My coalition member Melanie passed out some of the different products for you guys to get a closer look at or even smell them.
86.9% of all adult cigarette smokers began smoking by the age of 18. This statistic is important because adults who are smoking to this day become addicted, or at least they become addicted before the age of 18. One of the main issues with tobacco is the flavors. Studies have shown that 4 out of 5 kids who have used tobacco started with the flavored product. These flavors can lead to users getting very addicted. The cost and packaging make them so appealing to teenagers and adults because industries make them very colorful and affordable.
Okay, so there are over 15,500 tobacco flavors and counting. These are clearly targeted towards the youth, not only through the packaging, but also through the titles of these. Many of the flavored titles include candy corn, cotton candy, juice roll-ups, marshmallow man. You have lemon drops, double rainbow, it's so fluffy, lucky charms, and the list goes on and on. So some of these flavors are actually targeted towards certain subgroups and cultures within our community. Flavored e-liquids targeted at Hispanic and Latinos include churros, dulce de leche, horchata. You have flan, Mexican coffee, chili mango, tres leches, etc., etc. So trendy tobacco products. So these are all e-cigarettes on the screen. These are easy to conceal and easy to use. These products are actually marketed as smoking cessation devices, but have led to a significant increase within youth use of these products. Juul has been the most popular because it looks very similar to a USB. That way it gets by parents and teachers who think it's just a harmless USB port. E-cigarette usage by high school students increased 78% between 2017 to 2018, and kids report vaping as early as 12 years old. This is actually concerning because even in Reedley schools, we have many middle schools, and there have been a lot of reports about distributing and the use of these products in schools. Yeah, thank you.
These modern products like Juuls and Soren drops are a concern because of the amount of nicotine they contain. We know that nicotine is a toxic poison and can negatively impact brain development. These changes can be permanent and cause attention, learning, and memory issues like anxiety, irritability, and impulsivity. These devices can contain up to 6 times the nicotine concentration of first-generation e-cigarettes. One Juul pod has the same amount of nicotine as a pack of cigarettes. This is concerning because most Juul users do not use just one pod per day.
To wrap up our presentation, we have a few things targeted specifically towards Reedley. Up here is a map of the city of Reedley. The yellow areas shown are schools in our city, and 500 feet and 1,000 feet radius is around those schools. Red dots illustrate tobacco retailers. There are 3 tobacco retailers in our city of Reedley within 500 feet of schools. These are next to the high school and the college campuses. And there are 8 tobacco retailers within 1,000 feet of schools in our city. To look closer into this, I myself and Wendy Hall went on a Reedley store observation. We went to all 8 of these schools, all 8 of these stores within 1,000 feet of schools, and we looked at what tobacco products they had available, and an overwhelming majority had flavored products available. To work towards possible solutions for this crisis, cities across California have worked to reduce youth accessibility by eliminating the sale of flavored tobacco products within 1,000 feet of schools and youth-sensitive areas. In your packets, you can find a full list of cities that have passed policies like this in California, as well as examples of existing policies. Specifically in the city of Reedley, we conducted a series of public opinion polls within the past year. Out of these, 91% supported this law prohibiting flavors within 1,000 feet of schools, 90% agreed this would leave the community healthier, and 81% were concerned about how easily accessible tobacco products were to our youth. Your packets have much further information about everything me and my peers have shared, but we would welcome any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. It's appalling to see that these sales are taking place so close to our schools. I mean, I think it should be looked upon like alcohol is. I think we need to get more serious with it, but that's for another meeting, right? So thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you. It's nice to see you.
Appreciate that.
You know, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to ask the students, are you aware of any cities that have eliminated completely the sale of flavored tobacco products? Because what I heard through your presentation is you don't want the stores close to the schools. But are there cities that you've heard of that have completely eliminated that?
I know San Francisco has completely eliminated it, but on our list of ones specifically near schools, I know Sacramento is on that list.
Thank you. Good. Okay.
You know, I'd like to bring this topic back.
Yes, I would too.
Okay.
There's a lot of questions that need to be asked.
And by the way, you can ask questions.
We can.
Yes, absolutely. Sure. Ask questions. Okay. We just can't take an action on an item tonight in
great.
This.
Yeah. Question I asked, you said you've gone to different stores here in Reedley?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you come to the podium, please?
Yeah.
So me, myself, and Wendy Haw were the two that went on the Reedley store observation. We went to eight stores all on the same day, and all eight of those stores were in the city of Reedley, and they were within 1,000 feet of our Reedley schools.
Mm-hmm. Now, these businesses, do they sell this to kids underage? Was there an age limit?
They don't sell them under the age of 21. That's the requirement here in California. But obviously, we have heard numerous accounts of people above the age limit buying them and selling them, redistributing them.
To the young ones.
And the fact that they're so close to the schools makes it easily accessible in that regard.
Hmm. Yeah. It's very interesting because this is all new to me, and I start seeing the commercials and I see them vaping and all this comes out. It's worse than the tobacco smoke, I would think. Yeah, it's really
smells pretty.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
What kind of response did you get when you went to these stores? Did you get any?
We didn't get any because we were just there surveying around the stores. Yeah. So
you didn't ask any questions per se?
No, not us specifically. The adult with us asked the person in the front cashier questions about what products they had, but we ourselves, the minors, didn't ask any questions.
Mm. Thank you.
Well, you know, one of the things that's important, kids, it's not getting any better.
First it was a marijuana, now it is this. And
yes. But you know, you folks can make a difference within your own age group. They don't listen to us, but they will listen to you folks.
Thank you.
You know, that is a really good comment, Councilmember Soleno. I wonder, what are the schools? Are there campaigns within your school sites to try to keep kids from doing this?
So in Reedley High School, me and my friend Roxana, we are part of the group or club called Our Voice, and we recently hosted a meeting for both the parents and the youth to participate in listening to why this is an issue and also gaining more knowledge and how they can spot it within their own children.
Excellent.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, to add on to that, Lock It Up was the people who helped us create that meeting, who are part of the California Health Collaborative.
And also, we have a yearly youth summit that's held at Reedley College in conjunction with California Health Collaborative. We work with the students at Reedley College High School and with Reedley High. There's workshops that are specifically aimed for the youth. And this is actually held in conjunction with the Fathers Global Compañeros Conference because we want to include the parents and actually include workshops that correlate to what the students are learning about. So
great.
The parents are more aware.
Great. Education, you can't go wrong with that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Educate people. Like you're hearing today that some of us hadn't heard about this. I can remember one case when a kid got caught in school. I guess he was using cough syrup. That must have been one of the first things they found out that, wow, that works. And he could buy it over the counter. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, you know, things are getting a little tougher these days, but our hats go off to you. Thank you for your hard work. Keep it up.
So
we'll bring this back.
Yeah, if you don't mind me, Mayor, just because probably haven't taken civics yet if you're not seniors. So the way that it works in municipalities and in the city of Reedley specifically, when we get to the very end of the agenda, our council members are able to state what items they would like to bring back in what's called an action item format, where they're allowed to then talk about their opinions and what they'd like to do. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is we'll let you know that tonight it sounds like when we get to the end that will be asked for, and when we bring it back, we'll call you. I am so sorry. I just forgot your name. We'll call and let you know when it comes back so you can come and interact with the council on that.
Thank you.
Great. Adelpha, for goodness sakes, why did that not come to me? Sorry.
Thanks again.
So is this the council to try so that it's illegal? That's around.
First hand.
You got the sack.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You did a good job.
Oh, yes.
We're going to shoot that.
It was a great presentation.
Our next presentation is Fresno County Rural Transit Agency presentation by Mr. Moses Seitz.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. It's my pleasure to be here again. I was just here last month presenting to you, but I just wanted to share with you a few highlights of the transit system that goes through Reedley. And more importantly, we're really here to honor you in our celebration of 40 years of service since 1979. And we really value the city of Reedley as part of our JPA, Joint Powers Agency. We have the pleasure of having Councilmember Beck on our board, and Councilmember Anita Betancourt has been on our board as well, both great contributors. But I want to call your attention to this handout. And if you look on the inside page of it with those subsystems, those are all transit systems that operate within the city of Reedley and also through the city of Reedley. I overlooked one, the Dinuba Transit, that we bring in students from Tulare County into the Reedley College and into the city of Reedley. That information's not on there. But if you look at these numbers, they're quite high based on general public transportation, also the seniors and the disabled. Now keep in mind, in the city of Reedley, we do not charge for transporting the seniors and the disabled as well. And just to give you a brief update on that, I've been in touch with the city manager and other city staff, and the transition from the city operated intra-city system to our private provider, MV Transportation, so far, knock on wood, has gone fairly well, and we're all aware of the transition, and so far we've gotten favorable reports, and we hope to increase the ridership as we go along. The other map I want to call your attention to is the route map that's attached as well there. That's very important because, as you can see, those routes intersect with the city of Reedley and a lot of other cities along the corridor to and from Fresno, to and from Orange Cove, Parlier, Reedley, all the cities really on the eastern side of State Route 99. Lastly, I just want to call your attention to that photo that you have before you, and I know the staff has updated you on, but we're very pleased to have had the cooperation of Public Works in pouring the pad for us, 14 feet by 6 feet. And it's there in front of the Adventist Health. We think that's a great collaborative effort, not only for the community, but also for health. You just had a tremendous presentation on the issue of health in your community. And we think that what better photo depicts this collaborative effort? One, that bus shelter with the city of Reedley city seal on there, and also the Adventist Health right there in front. So we're very pleased to present that to you, and basically thank you for this collaborative effort, and also our ongoing security safety agreement with the police department, and just want to thank the police chief for his efforts in keeping our vehicle safe and the passengers safe as well. Lastly, just want to present this to the mayor on behalf of FCRTA, and essentially this is that same map here, but it has two logos. One, the city seal of City of Reedley, which you're very proud of, and we're proud to partner with you, and also ours commemorating the 40 years. But more importantly, there's a star there with the city of Reedley, just as there is a star on your city seal as well. Mm. So without further ado, otherwise city manager's going to start charging me $1,000 a minute. So, Mayor, I'd like to present this to you and the City Council on behalf of Fresno County Rural Transit Agency.
Thank you.
$1,000 was your idea, Moses. So keep us talking.
Very nice.
Really nice.
3 minutes, I did it. And one parting gift for you folks, which Janelle will pass out for you folks here.
Janelle, thank you.
This is so that when you're shopping locally, you can fill those bags up, okay?
There you go.
I have one thing, Moses. It's always a pleasure doing business with you and Janelle. You don't wait for somebody to come to you. You go out and see what the needs are of all the communities. You probably, like I told you the other night, you're probably the best liked by 15 cities there is. You've got 15 people that will go to bat for you anytime. And the cities really appreciate what you do for them. And again, thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for the kind comments.
Mr. Seitz, the one program I really am impressed with is you transporting kids that can't afford to drive to college. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really important.
You know, we work with a junior college, and they're a great partner as well, Reedley College. They offer monthly bus passes, and we collaborate with them quite well. And I'll tell you, all these partnerships, it really makes a difference because we've seen the ridership increase with the young individuals who go to college and even people that are returning back to school as well. And one thing I failed to mention, too, is that you have some electric buses. If you've seen those great, giant 40-foot green and white buses, those are electric buses. They're coming to Reedley College, and we're going to implement a few more in the near future as well.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I've heard some great comments already of your service, and it was well overdue. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Keep up with it. It's amazing with things when we collaborate, how things work out so much better, right? When we work together.
That's true.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Good day.
We move on to public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments from the public? State your name for the record, please.
Yes, I'm here from the U.S. Census Bureau, Los Angeles Regional Census at 55 West Grand Avenue, Los Angeles, California. I stay. My name is Susana Esparza de Pinal. I am your signed partnership specialist with the Census, U.S. Census Bureau. I'm here to share an important message that the 2020 Census is get it up and ready to go. I have prepared a briefing folder for each one of you, which contains information on how the 2020 Census will be conducted. Each household will receive invitation on starting March 12th of 2020. Inviting them to participate in the 2020 census online, by phone, or request traditional paper. In addition, the 2020 census, as on prior census, is safe. The Title 13 and Title 26 is protect the confidentiality for each respond. The information is never shared or exchanged for any entity. The U.S. Census Bureau as country leader nation statistical gathering. The information that is collected by utilizing to distribution of $675 billion every year in federal fund. These federal funds can help in assisting CDBGs, community development blocks, grants, clinics, schools, senior services, Title I launch programs, Medicaid, and city highways improvement. And I encourage the mayor pro tem, and the city council members to be establish a partnership with the 2020 Census Bureau to expand the opportunities of employment, because we are hiring. Every census decennial, we are hiring over 500 individuals, and not only enumerators. We need IT, field supervisor. Also, we need individuals who are bilingual. In your folder is an also card that contains information regarding to the hiring process that is online. Also, in a purpose, I state a document that which is called Counting Young Children. In the 2010 census, we have a several undercount children. We are focused that all families, whether are divorced, whether are grandparents, or whether are foster care, please include their children in the census questionnaire. In addition, is a document called Partnership at Glance. The partnership is that we establish it with each city, county, based organization, faith-based organization, improving your with establishing outreach in providing you with a real time regarding the census activities. When the address canvassing will be out in the community, also poder compartir información educativa acerca de la importancia del censo. I hope that you join us, become a Census 2020 partnership. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or any other comments from the public? Ms. Esparza de Pinal, muchas gracias. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from the council?
Well, this is going to be an important issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Important.
Crucial numbers. Very well, we move on to consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item of the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action. And the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Are there any items that the council wishes to pull from the consent agenda?
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Yeah. Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Back?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pinheiro?
Yes. Consent agenda. So we'll read the actual.
We can simply move to admin 12. Item. Admin yeah. Business. Yeah.
Next item, number 12, administrative businesses. Adopt resolution 2019-0666, authorizing the city manager to approve, sign, and submit a grant application for statewide park development and community revitalization program grant funds for the Camacho Park Rehabilitation Project. Community Service, Sarah Reed.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. I'm here this evening to discuss the possibility of submitting a grant to do the much needed improvements in Camacho Park. So with the passing of Proposition 68, $650 million were designated for new parks and to revitalize existing parks. There will be multiple funding rounds, and this is the first one. And what's really enticing about this grant opportunity is there is no required match. The grant does put a heavy emphasis on public input, so we have held 5 public meetings. I feel like we advertised in many different avenues to try to get as much input as we can. We even went above and beyond and hosted a table at our Junior Giants meeting, where, as you know, many of those parents are in Camacho Park for 3 months out of the year playing baseball, to really make sure that we were hearing what the community wanted to see out there. The voice has been the same throughout the meetings. We've had this consistent desire to, of course, safety and security, ADA accessibility, and to also do an upgrade to the restroom area and a walking trail. I'm going to highlight some of the other things that are out there. Also, upgrades to the stadium lighting system. This would also give us the ability to control the lights like we do out at the sports park. So we would stop passing out keys. We would have the ability to control those a little bit better. Overflow parking lights to address the kind of the dim lighting that's out there to help with the security. Security camera system, lighting up the park. So one thing that we heard is it's very well lit by the concession stand, but once the baseball lights are off, it's really dark in the park. So this would give some perimeter lighting to help with the neighbors feeling a little more safe, being able to go in the park after hours. The proposal that we have is approximately $2.4 million to do what we are asking for these improvements. Working with our grant consultant, she feels that we have a very competitive grant. The reason we selected Camacho was because it was the most competitive project. The sports park is still a high priority. Unfortunately, it did not qualify for this funding, so we are moving forward with Camacho Park, knowing that we weren't awarded last year and that this park still is in need of some rehabilitation. The grant application is due the 1st of August.
Can I ask a question, Sarah?
Yes.
You said the sports park doesn't qualify. What are the reasons why it doesn't qualify?
So this particular grant requires that we use a fact finder. So it's looking at the household median levels and the amount of park acreage in that area. And you have to qualify in one of those, and the sports park did not qualify in either one. We even gave a call to the state office, and they said, unfortunately, pick another project. Mm. Camacho Park qualified in both of those areas.
Well, it does take the program right to the center of the city,
mm-hmm.
which is important.
Yes.
Right. But Camacho, but the sports park has been sitting there since 2010 mm-hmm. when we broke ground, and just been sitting there and nothing's been taking place. So yeah. Really would love to see something in the future that can help us develop mm-hmm. it. Because if it is developed, there can be some positive things happen, especially with attracting numerous teams to come in, mm-hmm. needing a hotel or a motel close to that park, which would benefit the city in the long run.
Correct. Really. It would be more of a regional park for
right.
us. Yeah.
So I will tell you that Chris Townsend, our grant writer, is super interested in the sports park and the regional nature of that, and he's talked to Senator Hurtado about doing a special funding bill next year on that if no more grants come out for parks.
Okay.
So he's really looking for that.
Right.
To do something with that.
Thank you.
And so that's all I have. At this time, I can take any questions.
I didn't see anything about a scoreboard. Is that different?
The scoreboard is in there. I apologize if it wasn't on the list,
okay.
But we did put funding in there to replace both scoreboards and to actually put a protective front.
That's good.
Yes,
yeah, that's
on
important.
It. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a right question or a wrong question to ask, but taking all the parks in Reedley, is there such a thing where one park is safer than another in terms of vandalism and gang congregating there? Do you know?
The chief may be able to answer this better, but I know that once we put the lighting in Mueller Park, that really helped the
yes.
environment. Camacho, unfortunately, is dark.
Yes.
It's like a black hole down there once the lighting goes off. So definitely the lighting would help. Chief, do you want to add anything?
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, I would agree with Sarah. Once the lighting went up at Mueller Park, that really did helped the situation quite a bit. And of course, the inclusion of cameras down there helped also the situation. You know, to say which park is safer or, you know, busier than it, you know, our officers are really at all the parks and really pay attention to all of them. And you know, during the summer, obviously, Cricket Hollow Park gets pretty busy, especially during the day. So when the river's open, so it just really depends. But, you know, we try to address any problems that come to us.
Yeah. You know, what's frustrating is that we try and build these, bring these parks into the city because it's for benefit to the public. And yet we have that small group of individuals that tend to disrupt and destroy. Just like Columbia Park. That's another item. Mm-hmm. That would have been beneficial to that group there, the kids. But again, it's those idiots that just don't care. And I don't mind calling them idiots. But anything that we can do to help the public, you know, that's important. And Camacho Park is going to be one great addition to the city. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any other questions from the council?
No, the only thing I'm glad to see that we're actually going for something for Camacho Park. It's needed an upgrade for a long time, and I was really glad to see how well that you had the response on this from the public. And I noticed a lot of the items that they come up with is in this. So it's,
yeah, and I kind of had a different vision going to our first public meeting. I had talked to city manager about this vision of murals out there and kind of an art take on it. And no, that wasn't the direction. And that's why the public meetings are so important, yes. You know, because the people that live in that area, they definitely had a voice. And the walking trail, they said we walk it all the time, but we won't walk it at night and we have no path, we're walking, you know, on the bank. And so just really hearing how they utilize the park was phenomenal.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah. I think your lights and camera there is going to make a real difference. Mm-hmm. You can get that. Yeah.
Yep. And I'm hopeful once these improvements happen that there's going to be some pride there. Yes. You know, we're not going to be vandalizing it. We're going to be proud of what we have and take care of it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if I can just say one thing, I spent so many years in that park, when in Little League, and coaching or whatever. And there was always a request that I made to staff at that time, not the staff here. And they'd say, oh, that's a good idea. But they never followed through. They just left it alone. And now we're seeing something that's going to be very, very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the public? Being none?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes. Very good. We'll move on to a workshop. Conduct workshops to receive community input and recommendations for use of Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, Home Investment Partnerships, and Energy Shelter Grants program funds as part of the county's of Fresno's preparation for submittal of U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development of the 2020-24 Consolidated Plan. Mr. Robertson, Engineering.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, John Robertson, Engineering Department. Just take just a few seconds here to introduce the workshop that we're going to that's going to be conducted by county staff. This is for related to the Community Development Block Grant program that is administered by the county to and works with the city through an agreement. We do get an annual allocation every year, as opposed to competing for projects. We get an annual amount every year, but because we get that annual amount every year, it's only contained within that area that is identified in the staff report. We can only spend those dollars in that particular area. They qualify and meet the requirements of the CDD program. So the workshop is going to be an opportunity to receive comments and input. That'll help the county and put together a consolidated overall plan program that they are required to do. And with that, I will turn it over to Christy Johnson to conduct the workshop.
Thank you, John. Mayor and members of the council, thanks so much for having us out here tonight. My name is Christy Johnson. I work for the County of Fresno Public Works Department in the Community Development Division. With me tonight are my co-workers, Jared Neimer and Yvette Quiroga. And actually, once we finish our part of the presentation on the consolidated plan, Yvette will talk a little bit about some of the housing programs that we have at the county and therefore available to the city of Reedley as one of our partner cities. So we love to get out to Reedley, and we're out here fairly frequently, but every 5 years we come out to present the annual, the five-year consolidated plan. So the consolidated plan is a five-year outline that identifies the community development needs in the unincorporated portion of the county and the six partner cities of which Reedley is a partner. The needs identified in this con plan will be addressed each year through various grant applications by the cities, districts, community groups, and individuals. As you probably are aware, CDBG stands for the Community Development Block Grant. It's funded by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and you heard earlier about how important the census is to this program about identifying the numbers for us. The grant funds from the Community Development Block Grant are used for eligible housing, community and economic development activities, such as infrastructure, community facilities, housing rehabilitation, and public services. We also get money called Home Funds, and this stands for the Home Investment Partnership Program. This program is also funded by HUD and provides grant funding to assist with housing rehabilitation, home buyer assistance, and affordable housing development, which we've had a couple of nice projects in Reedley that have utilized those funds. Examples of CDBG activities: economic development, residential and commercial building rehabilitation, water and sewer system improvements, storm drain improvements, public works improvements such as streets and sidewalks, neighborhood facilities, community centers, parks and recreation facilities, ADA improvements. And what's interesting about ADA improvements is it can be for things like parks. It can be for things like public restrooms and that kind of thing when they're done to meet ADA compliance. And community-based public services. Most important for these activities is they must primarily benefit low and moderate income people, and obviously that's where the census numbers become important as well. Guidelines, the needs are broad and may be addressed by one or more different activities. The needs identified in the comp plan will provide the framework for future activities. Each type of activity will have certain rules and regulations depending on which program it falls under, CDBG funded or home funded. And specific activity eligibility requirements will be addressed during the annual application process. Also at this time, Reedley obviously has been a longtime partner with the county in this program, so it's kind of exciting for us to look back and see how much has been able to be invested in Reedley since the program began in 1975, and we have nearly $11 million of CDBG funds invested in the community of City of Reedley. And most recently, we've been doing a series of city street improvement projects over the last few years, all cycles. So at this point, we call this public meeting sort of our kitchen sink meeting, because what we'd like to have any members of the public do, and certainly the council, is basically throw out everything but the kitchen sink. And by that, I mean throw out all sorts of ideas that you would like to see done in Reedley, because we'd rather have too many areas of focus and when we go through the five-year plan, so that if you come forward with an activity in a future year, we already have it in our five-year consolidated plan, and though it's required to have that area of work in our consolidated plan so that when you come with an application, it's already been vetted for that activity. So we're here to answer any questions. We have a little part of our program that will come after this, but at this time we'd love to get the input on the areas of activity you'd like to see done in the City of Reedley with CDBG funds.
There's one, I'm looking at the map that qualifies for this. There's one area, C and North Avenue. There's an island that was created when there was road work done, but there's never been any pipeline for waterworks to approve that or improve that island. It's been sitting there with weeds, and does it qualify in this program at all? Because that island has been sitting there.
It's in your mapped area? Yes, sewer and water would be qualifying activities as long as it's in an area that meets the benefit to low mod population. So those would be, if it's on the map that John prepared, having worked with him for a lot of years, I trust that he has the right map. I didn't see that map, but I'm sure that that is, yes. So any of the communities that are identified as benefiting, meaning the low mod income benefit requirement, yes, then infrastructure like sewer and water are focus areas that we could do projects on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So it meets the CDVG requirements or criteria. You say those are qualifying areas.
Right. And I'm speaking now in general terms. We actually, when we get the project, burrow down to the nuts and bolts and sure. make sure that it meets all the things. But yes, as a general area of activity, sewer and water qualify. And then if it's in the map area that John put together of a qualifying area. So there's always two pieces to a CDVG project, that it benefits the low moderate income people, and that the project itself is an activity that's eligible. So that those two things sound like they're that would be.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions from the council? Comments?
Well, that Button Willow and Myrtle, that we approved that for the next year or two, huh? Mm-hmm. So that's taken care of.
So that will be taken care of, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, and I think, so we're looking at it. What are the years we're looking for now? 2020?
So 2020 to 2024.
Okay, so that'll be, Button Willow will be covered before that. Recently you sent out an email about a grant program that could also be covered for emergency shelter grants, etc. Is that also only applicable in that mapped area where it's CDBG eligible, or can those shelter grants be used outside of that area?
Now, the ESG program is run by our Department of Social Services, so you're talking about the public services. That, yes. So there's a section of money from our annual allocation the county gets that goes to social services. And so every couple of years, the money is also administered by DSS, but the board sets it aside from our annual grant allocation, a certain percentage for social services. So that's what Jared forwarded to you. And social services can be things like, in previous years, it's been for Marjorie Mason services here in the community of Reedley. We've also had Boys and Girls Clubs out in Del Rey. Again, it has to be an eligible population. Just so you know, populations that are deemed eligible without even looking at their income level are senior citizen populations and the disabled population. For activities that benefit children, we have to look at the income level of the children. But the two groups, senior citizens and the disabled. One of the things I wanted to mention about the disabled population, we've had success in some of our other cities about doing bathrooms, restrooms, and making them ADA compliant both in parks and in public facilities. And what's great about that is I heard you talking about grants and heard you talking about other things, is that we can layer money. So where we might not be able to put the money into a park because the park itself isn't eligible, if you're adding a disabled accessible restroom or playground equipment that is also disabled accessible, we can layer in. Again, we'd have to look at the numbers and everything else, but those things are deemed eligible because of the population they're serving. So we can layer those on top of other things, and we've had other cities be able to do that. We are in Kingsburg this next year. They're looking at doing some improvements to their senior center. So that is, again, not necessarily in a neighborhood that's low, moderate income, but serving a population that's deemed
Excellent.
Qualified. Okay. So it kind of opens your mind up about things that you might not have thought of, that if we can get them in under that thing. I mean, oftentimes with our city partners, it's great that our city partners are doing better. Their numbers are going up. The quality of life is getting better. For our program, that sometimes makes things a little more difficult. So, we want to be as creative as possible so that we can meet needs. Because just because our communities, reach a certain threshold and start to improve, we'd love to keep the improvement going by putting these projects in. And yet it works against us because then these projects may not be eligible. So if we can get not around it, but just add to it by what's great about some of the ADA accessibility issues is you can put some curb cuts and some things into pathways that not only are accessible for our senior population and folks like me who are disabled, but also families and strollers and wagons. And so there's a lot of accessibility issues that actually are an overall community benefit as well. But because they're primarily focused on bringing that accessibility to an area, they do become qualified.
When when you talk about that, and you, I also saw economic development on there. Can some of those dollars for ADA be used for businesses to upgrade for ADA compliance? So, for instance, in our downtown corridor, which is in our CDBG area, we have a lot of businesses that are not potentially may not be completely compliant. A grant program, for instance, for them to get them up to compliance, is that something the dollars can be used for?
Right. We have, and at the county level, we have what's called our FACE program, and that's for unincorporated communities, but it's a facade improvement program. So again, we'd have to look at the qualifications, but yes, you can use CDBG funds if the city so desires to put into that kind of a service or program. Hmm.
Great. So the to get in touch with you for more information,
Yes. And then really quick, before I bring Yvette up to talk about our housing programs, we decided to kill two birds with one stone tonight. And we also are required to update our impediments to fair housing. So I'm going to quickly talk about what impediments can be and get some feedback from you on that as well. Fresno County also needs to prepare an analysis of impediments to fair housing choice as part of our program to do our consolidated plan update. Impediments can include governmental policies or procedures, language barriers, lack of affordable housing options, ADA accessibility issues, or anything else that restricts the availability of housing options to all residents. At this point, we'd love to get some feedback from your council and any members of the public on what impediments to fair housing choice have residents of Reedley experienced, and what changes you would recommend to help address those issues.
Hmm. Interesting. Questions or comments from the council?
Well, you know, it's a new one. I'd like to have staff give us some information on that.
Could we gather some information so we can maybe have something to study and look at
better understanding
to respond a little more?
Yeah, Christy, were you looking for specifics tonight or that we get back to you with specifics?
You get back to me, and also if there's general topics, like if you, you know, I know we're doing some affordable developments in Reedley, if that's an issue, that more affordability and things like that. So general topics, because this, again, is going to be an overview of some of the areas we'd like to see worked on overall in the county. So we're going to every partner city, and also at the county level, we're going to be addressing those issues and how we can, you know, what we'd like to see to improve those issues.
Are some of these help projects, are they accessible for folks that are already living in a home or in a, in their dwelling? Or is this available to folks that are working on building a home?
Well, and I'm going to have, this is one that we're just going to address some of the accessible housing or fair housing needs, but I'm also going to bring Yvette up, and she's going to talk about the programs we have that are available to both folks who have a home that needs to have some rehabilitation, and then we have ones for trying to put people into homes, and then we have our loan program for developers to do the whole project. So I'm going to quickly... Is she behind me? Perfect. I'm going to quickly introduce Yvette Quiroga. Thank you so much. And certainly we're all going to be here after she's done presenting if you have any questions for any of us, okay?
Thank you, Ms. Johnson.
Well, good evening, everyone. I usually come once a year, but I think it's actually been maybe a little bit longer than a year, huh? Time goes by so quickly. We wait till, like, you guys all get elected or reelected and come back so you can learn, you know, especially for new council members, so they can at least learn about the programs. And, you know, Reedley's been a partner for a lot of years, and we've been able to assist a lot of families in your community and in a lot of different ways. And so the county, as you heard, has the CDBG program. And with that program, you're given money, and you decide every year how you want to use it. The other program that you get to participate in because you're part of our JPA is the home program. And that one is a housing money. It's only for housing. It can't be used for anything else. And that money is called first come, first serve. So all the cities kind of have the same access to it. So if you have a list of 10 families that need the money and they come to the county first, then they get the money. Well, luckily, we've never run out, knock on wood, technically, because when we budget the money, we budget so much for the different programs. And I'm going to go over what the different programs are. And like you were asking about current homeowners, like if you own your home and you live there, it just falls apart by itself. You know, it drives me crazy. It's just like always there's something wrong. The garage door broke. Why did the gates not working? What's going on? You don't even have to do anything to it by itself. So that's where our program comes in, the Housing Assistance Rehabilitation Program. We give a loan to low-income residents. So that map that you saw, I don't care about that map. My program is the person has to qualify. They have to be low income. And so they can live anywhere in your city. But if they're income eligible, they have to earn 80% of the area median income. And so if they're low income and they own their home and they have equity, because it is a loan, then I can give them a loan to fix up their house. And we can do everything. In the city of Selma, just 2 weeks ago, I went and did a final inspection. That man's house had burned down. He didn't have health. He didn't have homeowner's insurance. So he was homeless with a burned down house. And the city got involved and called us. And it took a long time, I won't lie, because everything with the government takes time. But we finally built him a brand new house. You know, as a local senior, you know, citizen, and he had lost everything. And we're able to give him a loan. And I think his payment is like $200. You know, so our payments are affordable on what they can afford. We do have mandatory payments, minimum of 40, but it can go up to there, whatever you can afford. And sometimes I laugh because I tell them, oh, you have a 100-year loan. And they're like, I'm not going to live that long. That's okay. You know, we'll get the money back eventually. We just want you to live safe and comfortably. So we come in and fix up their house, whatever they need. New roof, new windows. You know, we come in and bring it up to energy efficiency. We make it health and safety. You know, you need a carbon monoxide detector. What? I'm like, yes, that was the law several years ago. You know, and we're able to make it handicap accessible for them so they can live there longer. Maybe they need a roll-in shower now because they just don't walk the same way. We always put in the high toilets, you know, you don't want to go all the way down. You know, as we get older, you need to be able to, we want them to stay there as long as we can. And like I said, it's, we make it affordable and we make it so it's comfortable. And that's the Housing Assistance Rehabilitation Program. Then we also have our Home Buyer Assistance Program where we help people buy houses. So you have people who are moving in life and moving up and they want to stop renting and they want to buy a house. We help them with the down payment and plus closing costs. So we can give them up to 20% towards the purchase price of the house plus closing costs. So an example, if you have a $200,000 house, we can lend them up to $40,000. And the closing costs can be another $8,000, $10,000. So they would get a loan with us of $50,000, let's say, zero interest, zero payments, is deferred for 30 years. And so what they make the house payment on is on the $150 from the bank, and that lowers their bill and makes it affordable. They only have to come in with 1.5% of the sales price of the house. So in that example of a $200,000 house, they come in with $3,000. So most of the time you have to save $10,000, $20,000 to buy a house, and most people can't save that much. Well, with this program, we help them with the down payment and the closing costs, and it makes it affordable. Now, we're very excited. And it's on our to-do list because our to-do list seems to get longer every day. Doesn't seem to get shorter, but we actually have an application from self-help with you guys and we're working with them. And they're going to be doing several phases, I believe like maybe up to 60 or, like I said, I don't know all the details. My staff is working on it. I do talk to them and we're very excited that we are planning to assist them in the next several years. And as they plan to do a group about 10 families at a time, and we hope to provide them down payment assistance and closing costs through this process. And we're actually going to be able to award a certain amount of money directly to self-help and say, okay, we're going to give you guys $500,000 for these next 10 houses or this much, $300,000 for the next houses. And then they can use that for the construction costs. And then they'll pay us back as giving it a loan to that family. So then it makes it even more affordable. So we do have an application. We're reviewing that. We're hoping, you know, that we'll be able to fund them. And we're very excited to have that project come in the near future. I know our goal is to hopefully take it to the Board of Supervisors sometime around January or so. I know they're starting doing the offsite improvements and all that fun stuff. And I was going to get the address so we can drive by, but we had too many stops. I'm like, I'll have to come another day. But, you know, so we're able to help with people buying existing homes, building homes, and then through our developers able to do projects like that one. And then another program that we have is our affordable housing development. Now, that program is where we give developers loans, which is similar to what we're doing with self-help, as I mentioned, but this one is mainly for rental projects. So I think all of you guys remember the project just down the street over here. We had a big party about a year ago. And, you know, the city has been awarded $2.7 million in home funds to build two different projects in the city of Reedley. So we've helped you build over 115 affordable housing units in the last 5 years. So that's really great because some cities are really struggling to bring in units and meet those wonderful numbers the state is like hitting us with a hammer with, right? to build. So we're going to continue to work with you and developers and whatever we can do to continue to provide that affordable housing. One of the things that I do is we go and monitor those apartments every year. We go and inspect them. We make sure that they're renting to the right people, and you know, we're your partner. So if you have problems and you're having difficulties with those apartments, you call us. Christy has no problem threatening to foreclose on them and tell them, give me back that $1 million or get your act together. And they're like, we don't have money to give you. And they have to get their act together. You know, so we have a little bit of leverage. You're our partners. We're here to work with you. So definitely, I think when the project was starting off, I came by and introduced myself to, so you had like new staff, I believe, at the time. I hadn't met them. So I came in and he's like, oh yeah, we're having a little issue with this. And I'm like, what? I called them right then and there. Next thing I know, that was emails. It was taken care of in a week. And I was like, okay, good. And I go, you just needed to know to talk to me. You know, we'll do what we can. And we do work together. And we do have very good working relationships with our developers. It's just that these projects are very complicated and difficult and multi-layered. It's like so many regulations and things like that. But I know housing is a big topic with our state and especially our needs in our communities. So we're here as your partner, you know, to help you in any way we can to continue to get these developments going, assist your from your residents, you know, to owning their homes, to fixing their homes and building apartments. So your partnership with us, you have access to all of this. And when I did say that we've never run out of money, the only thing is the affordable housing developments. They all want $1 million, $2 million. I would have to give everything and shut everything else down. So I've never turned a family away for a rehab or a home buyer assistance. Now the developers, you know, I don't got $1 million sitting around for them every day. So that one, it is competitive and we do have to be able to fund them, you know, sometimes one a year or every 2 years since we get enough money. But like I said, we've been very lucky, and I think you guys still have one more project you guys are trying to get going in Reedley?
At least one.
Yeah, they did not apply last round with me, so I was a little disappointed. You know, I called them up, and I told them, hey, I hand out a NOFO. You know, we have money. Come apply. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to apply. Okay, well, that's less work for me because I have to review all the applications. But we're willing and ready to see what they have and, you know, maybe consider them in the next NOFO that we might have coming out. We were very successful this last tax credit round, and for the first time, we were funded two projects in a tax credit round. So we took a big chunk of the rural monies, and so we're going to actually be having a project in Kingsburg and in Kerman starting in the next year, the next 6 months. We're excited. Any questions?
Now, if we find a project, is there a time limit to submit it to you?
No, there's never a time limit. The only time we have a time limit is when we're doing the apartments, and that's when we say we have a NOFA available and then turn it in, you know, for them to turn in an application. But if you have a resident that needs a house fixed, if you have, you know, something like that, we actually, I have applications with me, and we mail out the application. The family goes through the process, whatever it is they need to do. If it takes too long, everything gets old, or if there were issues, we cancel it and they can reapply. So we have people sometimes apply 2-3 times because maybe they have some credit issues or they have some things they have to take care of that we can, you know, that we then give them time. So we've had families reapply a year later or 2 years later when they take care of whatever issues, and we're here waiting for them.
Oh, okay. Well, good. All right. Thank you.
How do you go about getting the information out to the public?
So if you guys have water bills, that's what we love to do is get on your water bill or put a flyer in your water bill. We have it up in, you know, some of the cities have their websites and they'll put us up on their website. We do direct mailings to addresses. Jared is our computer guru. He goes in there and looks at the who owns homes in a certain ages. We'll think, okay, houses that are like built in the 80s, they probably need some work now, you know. And so we'll do that and then we'll send direct flyers to them so they'll get this all about homes because it has everything in it. We actually just created a new little thing because sometimes we'll just mail this one, but it's only for the rehab, you know, because we're doing that. But now I think we're doing the rehab and then we have like a little insert that we made smaller that we could put in there so it still gets the all about homes. Because you might have someone living in a household that you own the home, but you have your kids you're trying to get rid of. And so you want them to go buy their own house. You know, say like, hey, look, mijo, I found this program. Go sign up and buy a house. You know, we want our bedroom back. You know, so we really want to get all the information out there. And if you have any suggestions, any ideas, we're always here. You know, sometimes we'll do events. If you guys say, hey, we want you to have a booth at this event that the city has every year. I remember we did like the Swedish pancake breakfast and stuff like that. My staff loved that one. I think we've gone to powwows, you know, we'll go do whatever. If you have any suggestions, we're open.
Very good.
And city staff does a lot of recommending as well, because when they're out there, and you know, a lot of times people, like your code enforcement might use it. You might have other issues and people that you need to help, and then they'll send them our way as well.
So I was going to mention, if we could get some flyers from you, we have a couple of exceptional opportunities that have opened up. And in fact, I'm going to ask the chief if he can connect you to Chaplain Baker. We have a family we just moved into our temporary shelter because their house burned down.
Ah.
It would be a great program from them.
Okay.
And so if you can do that, chief. And then if we could get some flyers for you, we have a very proactive code enforcement. There we go.
Yeah. We normally do drop off flyers every several months at City Hall. We come here. Can you make sure you put these out? And
excellent.
Then we can always email them, and you guys can print them, you know, and so you guys can, if you ever run out and we're not out here fast enough.
Excellent.
Great. Thank you, Yvette. Appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, great program. Very good. We have any other questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. Now we move on to council reports. Councilmember Salendo.
The only thing I have is that I go by the Luke Trimble Splash Park morning and evening, and it's been used very, very well. A lot of kids out there. So I think the city's done a great job on that one. Mm-hmm. And there's been some good comments. Even people that live just west of there towards the river, they said that's an addition to their neighborhood.
Good.
Good. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Bettencourt.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Councilmember
Beck. I have a couple of things. One is I had our monthly COG meeting. Pretty standard. Wasn't a lot come up. We had a couple of staff members that were due for raises and due for job evaluations, and that was taken care of. The one thing I would like to ask, if it's possible to revisit our fireworks ordinance. We had a lot of fireworks on the night, and it was pretty heavy around my home. I would like to look maybe at a reviewing and increasing the fines on that, and maybe doing a step. If they've been cited before, we can increase the fines. Is that a possibility that we might review that?
We certainly can bring that back to council. I'm assuming you're making a motion, and if we
yes,
have another
I am.
Council member with a second, we'll bring it back.
And I'll second that one.
Perfect. So staff will work on that and bring that back at a future date.
Okay. Thank
We're
you.
Still having fireworks in my neighborhood.
We're dogs in the neighborhood.
I think that'll let the public know that we're serious about controlling that problem.
Yeah.
You know, and those $1,000 fines that were issued, I think there's some people going to remember not to do it again.
Mm.
And if we raise those fines, I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I know we'll have some people that will object to that, but that's no problem. We're trying to make everything safe
yes.
for the city.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's been about three years since we've reviewed that anyway, so.
Sounds about right.
And I see where the cities around us, I think, are running a little bit more than what we're
yeah.
So I don't see why it wouldn't be a good idea to review that again and take a look at it.
Yeah, staff will go ahead and take a look at what other cities are doing, because I think you're
yeah.
right. I think they're a little higher
yeah.
than we are. This year, as you know, we had 14 citations, only two of which were appealed, and we'll have those appeal hearings in a few weeks. So we'll bring this back in a future meeting, and we can discuss.
Yeah. I would just like to thank the chief, though. I paid attention. I had the scanner going there. The guys were hopping. Trust me, they were. I mean, when you're taking numbers for calls, that's pretty good. So.
Yeah.
And also thanks to the fire department, because Chief Isaac did have some of his staff helping.
Yeah, you guys were all out there hopping. I could tell you, it was nonstop.
Yeah.
So. One question that was asked: did we use a drone?
Can we
actually,
use a drone?
Can we use it? And did
yeah,
we use it?
Actually, two of them were deployed on that day,
really?
So we had multiple officers with the drones, just you know, getting up as high as they could and be able to see if we can pinpoint certain locations and stuff.
Right.
So they were used on that day.
Good. The most important part is neighbors making a phone call, not having to use their name or anything, but just to let the city know there's problems in
exactly.
certain locations.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that was asked about me, the drones. So, good. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Great job, Chiefs. Thorough. Very good. I just wanted to mention the going away party for a retirement party for Denise was nice to see all the representation there, just show the love and how much we'll miss her. Great job, Denise. Sarah, sorry. Very well, we move on.
Before we move on, I just wanted to put the presentation on the agenda about the tobacco and the flavor.
Yes, would you like to make a motion for us to bring back a revised ordinance or for us to bring back a workshop where we can discuss what the council might want?
That would be better. I think a workshop and we can discuss
second.
It and see what the other cities are doing. And
perfect. Thank you.
Very good. We move on to staff reports. Nicole?
All right. I really don't have anything for you tonight. It's been a very, very busy week, but all is good. So do we have any staff with any updates? All right. None for tonight, Mayor.
Very good. That means that our meeting is adjourned. Have a good night. Stay cool.